Now, we have the professional exception. That's the learned professional, creative, teaching, doctors and lawyers, and computer for those who actually make the go in and do the programs. It's not a computer technician. So, lawyers, you're going to be in this professional exemption. Learned professionals, our teachers are in the learned professional exemption under professionals. So those particular exemptions allow them to be exempt. So our administrative assistant, she meets a salary test, let's say, and she's not an executive, and she won't be administrative because she exercises judgment and discretion. So she is salaried. So what are you going to do when she works 80 hours a week? You're going to pay her 40 hours of overtime, and we're going to look at calculations a little bit later. But that's the danger that we've got here if we misclassify. Let's look at our hypotheticals. Our chief financial officer, that's someone who pretty much runs a school, the operations of that school. So they would probably be in the executive exemption. Purchasing coordinator and payroll. Purchasing, probably yes, but payroll, do they make independent judgment? Probably not. They're told how much they're going to make, and how much each is going to make, and they do the figures for that. Now, if it was a CPA, yes, because of the professional exemption. But look at your payroll, folks. If they are exempt and they're working more than 40 hours a week, you better check it. The director of transportation, if you look at executive, you know, they have to supervise people, and they have to have the ability to hire and fire. And the under the administrative exemption, they don't have to supervise people, and they do make independent judgments. So if you look at a director or a supervisor in your school districts, these very well may be in the category of administrative, because they are making independent judgment. Our potential issues that we have, sometimes we have people who do dual jobs, like our payroll and our purchasing in some of the smaller districts. So you may have that payroll only doing 30% of the time and purchasing at 70% of the time, so you can allow that to happen. Now, they focus on the DOL right now on certified special education aides, computer techs, others with executive professional classification, and administrative. So we've gotten the basis for who's going to be exempt. How can you classify your exempt employees in your school district? But now, exempt people have certain rights, and well, should they? Let's look at our teacher who gets there at 7 in the morning, and she leaves at 6, and then she works at home. That individual is working many more hours than the 40. And so because they're exempt, they don't get overtime. But here's something that they do get, and a lot of times we don't look at this. It's called the Equal Pay Act. And you can have exceptions. You cannot dock those employees for these particular, except for these particular reasons. And if you have to suspend someone, it has to be of major significance if you're going to dock them, if they are exempt. Now, with this, in the public sector for exempt employees, it's one day. If you have a sick leave policy or a PTO policy, for a full day and they're out, you can have them use their PTO time. Under municipal and other governmental, along with school districts, it can be a half a day. So I know many of your school districts say you can be out a half a day, but you're gonna have to use your PTO time for a half a day. So that does work. But remember, if an employee works on their email at any time during that half a day, they're working as an exempt employee. That's just one of the benefits. So if you don't want them to do that, you need to tell them. But if they do it, you've got to pay them. You can discipline them, but you've got to pay them. Also, please note that unpaid leave taken pursuant to the FMLA is allowed. It's one of the exceptions to the exempt employee no docking rule. Improper deductions, you can't deduct pay due to school closure because of inclement weather, or if an exempt employee wants to take 2 hours to take their child to the doctor, you don't dock for that, and or you don't make them use PTO, and you don't give them deductions for being late to work. But what do? First, you pay them, because you've got to under FLSA, and then you discipline them if it's excessive. They may not keep their job if they continue to violate, but you must go ahead and pay them to be in compliance. Case 3, FLSA doesn't apply to us, we're too small. Wrong. That's an easy answer. We'll just move on. The salary we pay covers all of the non-exempt work that they do. If then, and we're talking about non-exempt people, I want to give you a horror story. In the oil field, they have day rates, and they pay people for 10 hours, 30 hours a day, and work 7 days a week.